Think about this day and what it represents. And you know, we're so completely unable to speak of this kind of time in a way that's worthy of it without the Spirit of the Lord giving us those special words and thoughts. And so we pray this morning that the Lord will just meet us, each one, and speak to us. Something beyond what man can do. But I want to start in John, the 12th chapter, and the 23rd verse, and read a little passage here. Begins by saying, John 12 and 23, "And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." You know, this is a special time for us, isn't it? "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You know, I was thinking about that, as so often we have, and probably many of us have meditated on that many times. But you know, Jesus was speaking of his death here. And also something for us to take. But it says here, "Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You know, a week or two ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, we started planting a garden. And I wanted to help plant. And so we read on the packet how far apart each one of the seeds were supposed to be and how deep they were supposed to be. And so we planted those seeds all through there. And then different things happened and the dog got in there. And so I was anxiously waiting to see, are these seeds going to come up? But yesterday, I just thought I would check on it. And I've looked at it previous to that too. But I walked by, and they were an inch and a half tall. And I could just see the rows down through there where those plants had been planted. And you know, that gives us hope of something later. It gives us hope because I know there's life there now. I know now that they did germinate. I know there's life. And I know that if it keeps growing, we will likely get many peas from those peas. And from what was planted, different things I saw coming up. And it gives us hope. It gives us, there's life there. There's no doubt about it. There's life there. And I thank the Lord for that this morning. I think he gave us so many things in this life for us to be able to understand some spiritual things this morning. We want to read on down here, it says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this hour came I unto this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And you know, this morning, that we're so thankful this morning that Jesus did not keep his life. The song that we heard sang this morning said that he could have called 12 legions of angels. And he could have. But then where would the life be that we long for? Where would the peace be that we can have with God? Where would the peace be in our hearts that we can share with people? Where would all of that be had there not been life to give us life? Where would the fruit be that we can have in our life and the hope that God gave to us? But you know, just like we put those little seeds down in the ground, and they lost their identity, and what they were, they are not now. They have begun to change, and springing forth out of that is life. And you know, this morning, the Lord came and he brought life, didn't he? I want to just read a few scriptures, maybe starting at Luke 24 and 1. I want to look here at how the Lord, how it began here, Luke 24 and 1. You know, we're no longer speaking of his death. He did that for us, but now there's something even greater than that. He didn't leave us. He didn't stay there. Luke 24 and 1 says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. You know, Satan did his worst here. We see here that Jesus rose in triumph from the grave. We see that in spite of everything Satan could do, all the torture he could give Jesus, the troubles that he gave him, the demeaning when he spoke down to him. Now, if you're the Son of God, tell us who smote you. And spitting on him and hitting him and crucifying him. That was all that Satan had to do. And do you know that Jesus just rose completely in triumph above all of that? And out of his life, he rose by his own power, by the power of God. He rose, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And you know, he came out of there not just for his own life. I look at that little plant and I think about it, and I'm not so concerned just about that little plant. But you know what? There's going to come off of that all kinds of fruit. Do you know this morning the Lord saw you and me in our fall? He saw us in our sin and our trouble. The Lord saw us in our hopeless despair, and he paid that price for you and me so we wouldn't have to be that way. And not only did he come back and have life, but he brought life to you and me too. We're his fruit. We're the ones that are benefiting from this thing. He could have went on back to the Father, and he wouldn't have had any need to come back. But you know what? Jesus rose from the grave. It's significant for you and me. It affects our daily lives. The things he did, it matters to you and I. And if we will allow him, oh, how the Lord will bring forth fruit in our life too. Hey, he came to overcome death, to overcome the worst that Satan could do, the temptations that he had in the wilderness when he was there, and the devil came, Satan came and tempted him after he had been fasting and praying 40 days and 40 nights. He was at his weakest, and Satan threw everything he could at him. Make this stone into bread. And he tempted him with different things. The rule of all these kingdoms, he threw all that at the Lord. And then, of course, that didn't work. He cruelly mistreated him and gave him his worst. He put him on a cross and crucified him. And all of those things. Did that stop that life from the Lord? Did that stop the planting of the Lord? No, it only enabled it, didn't it? And so he came back. He not only lives, but folks, he came to bring life. He came to bring life for you and me. Life in the heart. That's what people long for. That's why they spend their life searching. That's why they spend their life trying to find those things that satisfy the soul. There's only one thing that satisfies the soul. And that's life. That's life from the Lord. That's the live plant. That's the thing that enlivens, that gives vibrant hope and gives peace in our hearts with the Lord this morning. I wanted to read just a little bit. Did you catch the words? Somebody called this song before I was planning to read it. But this was the first song called this morning. "He is risen," said the angel to the women when they came to see him sleeping in the grave. "Jesus burst the mighty bars of death asunder and arose to reign triumphant from the grave." Do we realize what he did there? He arose to reign triumphant from the grave. The worst that Satan could do was to kill his body. But he arose on his own merits, on his own recognizance. He rose from the grave. And you know, it says he arose. My blessed, or my Savior arose. He rose. My blessed Savior rose triumphant from the grave. He is risen. Surely death is now abolished. Grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? You know, we don't look at death the same as other people do. No one wants to die in the flesh, but I will tell you something. It holds great hope for those that are saved. You know, if death is just something that you are afraid of and deathly afraid of, the Lord has something for us this morning. He has eternal life that he wants to put in our soul. You know, it grieves us, doesn't it? But I will tell you, death has lost its sting this morning. The terror of what is down the road, the terror of meeting God with our sins, the Lord has come to bring life. And he proved it by his own rising from the dead. And then he gives it to us, and we are his fruit, abounding on the Lord through the centuries has had much fruit. Grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? Jesus flashes light into the darkened valley. Swell the mighty chorus, men and angels sing. He is risen. Let the nations hear the music. Let the gospel truth reach every distant plain. Let the tidings roll that every guilty captive may be fully free and help to praise his name. Isn't that something? We were dead in trespasses and sins. And who is able to free themselves? No one is. But it says here that every guilty captive may be fully free and help to praise his name. That's life, folks. Thank the Lord. Is it not sin that brings death? Is it not sin that brings suffering into people's lives? What sin can you think of that helps people? Is there a sin that is a blessing to people? People say, well, a lie gets you out of something once in a while. Well, I will tell you what it does. It makes your neighbor mistrust you. It makes your conscience condemned. And it makes God displeased with us. You know, it makes us unable to stand before him. That's just a small thing. But what about the great things? What about the murders, the terror that comes from all those things? Is there any good in sin? Is there anything that you can say, but I have to have this thing? But it's necessary for life? Sin is what ruins people's lives. It is what has ruined the world. It is what causes rulers to be terrors to people. It is what causes men and women to terrorize their families and others around them. That is what it is. And the Lord came this morning to bring life. Folks, he came to bring peace. He's called the Prince of Peace. And he came to bring it for you and me this morning. I just want to encourage us today that this is so significant that the Lord came. He not only paid the price for our sins, folks, he rose from the grave triumphant. He was a winner. He was the winner. Death has now been abolished. Those terrors of death and those things has been abolished in our hearts. Thank the Lord. He is risen. Hence the fear of that grim monster is forever banished to the shades of night. And the grave and death have lost their wretched terror while we live on earth. or take our upward flight. Just want to give us a little gospel message this morning, folks. The Lord arose, and He wants you and me to take full advantage of it. He arose like that plant that comes forth, and He gave us that. In fact, we just read where He said that of Himself, that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And then He goes right on down in the same passage. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify Thy name. And you know the Lord did glorify. God glorified Him, didn't He? And He raised Him triumphant above, made a complete victory over this whole issue of sin and darkness that is upon the earth today. I want to look at Colossians 2 and 15 that so clearly brings this out. Colossians 2 and 15, it says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." You know what this is speaking of? He's speaking of these principalities and powers, things that had authority, things that have authority in people's lives. Now, He's speaking somewhat, I also believe, of the Jews and the power that they had, the authorities that were there. Excuse me. This word here, principalities and powers, that word powers is the same word that in Luke 22 and 52 and 53 says, "Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to Him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Now this scripture we just read said that He spoiled principalities and powers. He completely spoiled them. He took their goods. There wasn't anything left because He took it. There wasn't any authority left there because the Lord spoiled it and He made an open show of it. This here is speaking of a military triumph where one triumphs one nation over another, and they come back and they show the palaces that were there. You see this palace? We just broke our way in, and look at these gold things hanging on the walls. And they tell everybody about all that was there. And now they're in our possession. Do you know the Lord? He triumphed, folks. He triumphed over the thing that was so wicked and dark, the powers of darkness that captivate people's lives. He triumphed over them, and then He made an open show of it. Satan did his worst. He did everything he could. He put out all the forces that he had against the Lord, everything down to death. And the Lord just made an open show of it. He came back and He just rose from the grave, and He rose to be completely triumphant over that. Folks, the Lord brought that for you and me today. I hope we can get just a little picture this morning in our hearts and minds that the Lord came back. The Lord came back to life, and He brought life for you and me. He shared it, and we are the outgrowth of His plant. We are a part of that plant, and we live because He lives, because there's life within Himself, and He brought that for you and me. In Ephesians 2 and 1, it also talks about, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Now, you, it says, He's made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, the Lord came back for that, didn't he? He came back for hope for you and me. I don't know where you all, each one, are at this morning, but I just want to tell us, the Lord came to bring us hope today. He came to bring us hope from sin. He came to bring us a life in place of darkness and death, and powers that had the power over us. The Lord came back for that, and he gave life. He had life within himself, eternal life, and he gives it to you and me. And it's not just some imaginary something out there. It changes our lives, doesn't it? It gives us power to live a life that we can stand before God unreprovable in his sight, the Bible says. And so, Lord, help us each one to get a hold of some of these things and not let go until we have life in our hearts. Till the Lord takes that dark thing in our life, that dark page, and changes it and turns it into something light and alive today. You know, I was just thinking about the chains. I want to read on there and finish that. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The prince of the power of the air. This is one of these principalities and powers that he's talking about here. In time past, we all walked in that way, didn't we? But it goes on to say, according to the power of the air, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The Lord wants to break every chain of darkness this morning. This is the message that we have to give this morning, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Folks, there isn't any darkness in God, and he has power over all that darkness, and it's in him. It's in seeking him. It's in humbling our hearts before him and then confessing to him. The things this here is speaking of also in Colossians 2, where we had been reading, about blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. You know, there are things that people live under that God doesn't want them to live under. The Jews were living under traditions that had nothing to do with righteousness. It only had to do with a law. And, you know, at one time God commanded them, you keep this law. But see, these things were a shadow of things to come. And if you read on down, it speaks of that. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. I don't want to get too far ahead here. But you know, the body that makes the shadow is Christ. Those things in the old law were the shadow. The meaning in Christ is what it was really about. That was the man that the shadow was cast from. And so those things had meaning. Yes, they did. Sabbath days, didn't it have meaning? Isn't there a rest to the people of God? And the Lord had great meaning in those things. We could go a long ways with that. But this morning the Lord wants us to know that he's triumphed over all these things. All the things that bind people, the chains of darkness in people's lives. The Lord Christ made an open show. He made an open show triumphing over all of that in God, in Christ. He triumphed over all that. And he gives something to us. I quoted the scripture in 1 John 1 and 4. I want to turn there because this scripture is very key to what the Lord has to offer. In 1 John 1 and 4 it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Folks, That's what the Lord came for. In him was life. Yes, he paid a penalty for our sins. And we can't have life without that. But you know what? He rose from the grave, and in Christ was life. And when he came out like that plant comes out, he wants to grow up into us, all of us, a part of that plant in the Lord. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, it is through that we can have peace with God. I want to read over in Romans 5 and look a little bit at what the Lord came to bring. 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see all the things that this brought us? It says, by whom also, not only do we have peace in God, but we also have access by faith into this place, grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope. Grace, hope, life, salvation, it comes from the Lord, doesn't it? And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. You know what else it does? It takes those things, those tribulations, those trials, and it converts them. All this is in the Lord. And we glory in those things. And why? Because can you ever look back and see some of those hard places and you see that now they are part of the foundation that built your faith? When you was most pressed and you went outside of what you was able to do and stand and the Lord picked you up and there you put something down of faith that you'll never forget. It takes tribulations and it makes them into something better. It says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. These things work for us. When you get hooked up to the Lord, everything changes. You know, the scripture says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to the called according to his purpose, however it says it there. Do you know that I hear that quoted from people who are not saved? That's not for them. That's not something that we have hope of except through Christ. And that's where our hope is. And once we have Christ in our heart and life, then we can claim that scripture. Then we have something to say, all things will work together for good. Because he promised it, didn't he? So this morning, there is a lot that the Lord, when he died and when he rose again, folks, he came to bring us something very, very rich into our lives. And many stop so short. Many stop with a little feeble claim that somehow when I was young, I repented or something or whatever. Listen, the Lord wants to give us life. He wants to give us peace with God. He wants to give us faith in God. He wants to give us a work that takes our tribulations and turns them into blessings. All of them. That's the scripture. Because what won't do that, he won't let happen to you and me. That's the truth. If we believe it, it is ours. The Lord wants to give that to us this morning. And if we serve him faithfully, he will do that today. And so we look at those things. Let's read on here. For when we were yet... Oh, wait. Verse 5, I'm sorry. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It puts love in our hearts. Did you know that we don't have to hate anybody anymore? We don't have to go around with ill feelings anymore. There doesn't have to be a single person that we will turn the other way when we see them coming. No one, no matter what the case, because of this life in Christ. It changes things, folks. If we cannot speak to people, if we cannot love people, if we cannot show forth the grace of God, then, folks, we need to go back to the Lord. Because this is his promise. This is his ways today. For scarcely, in For when we were yet without strength, we couldn't do any of these things. Who of us could? It's impossible. When we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe for a good man, someone might die sometime. They might throw themselves on the bomb or whatever's coming in, on the grenade. But you know what? Christ gave his life for sinners. He gave his life for folks that had offended. And that's who he came for. He made it very plain and very clear because he wanted to save. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Isn't that something this morning? Much more. If we're saved by his death, how much more shall we be, it says, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Thank the Lord this morning. Folks, we have something wonderful to rejoice in today. And I hope that our hearts just reach in and take it in. The Lord loves us that much. He cares about us that much. Yes. Yes, he does. He sure does. I was thinking about some of the other things that he came to bring. He came to bring not just faith, not just love, not just forgiveness, but he came to bring holiness in our heart and life. The Lord came to do that. He is the only one who can transform a heart. You speak to people and they will plainly tell you, whether they're preachers or anybody else, they will plainly tell you that everybody sins more or less all the time. Folks, only the Lord Jesus can bring us something better than that. Because we know that's the way it is without him. We know it's impossible. But you know what? The Lord doesn't want us to live in that darkness. He came to bring life. He's the light of life. Why would we live in darkness? Why would we suffer under the scourge of dark things? Why would we allow those things when we can come to the Lord and he can change all of that? Thank the Lord this morning for eternal life that he came to bring us today. There's such great hope in the Lord. Do you know that before Christ's time, you know that people that don't know the Lord don't have hope? They don't have the hope that this is going to be all right. It might be and it might not. They don't have the hope that they're going to have heaven when they get to the end of their way. They don't have those things. The Lord came to bring us hope. He came to bring us joy into our life. The Lord came to bring so many good things. And folks, I think sometimes we just look right over it. And we go on living life and we don't get hooked up good enough to that plant, Christ Jesus, and draw from him. And love him and let his love flow through our veins. And let his love cover all those errors and sins that people do against us. The Lord can do that. He didn't hold it against us. He loved us anyway, didn't he? And he gave his best. In John 8 and 12. John 8 and 12, it says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What a blessing for that promise from the Lord. He, it says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Folks, that's for every one of his children. If we follow the Lord, do you know he doesn't want us to walk in darkness? He doesn't want our way to be captivated by the dark chains of Satan that tried to captivate him. He arose victorious, made an open show of his victory when he rose over that. Another scripture I'll just quote. It says the people. This is Matthew 4:16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. What a blessing this morning. I want to read Matthew 28:18. This is a scripture just probably almost all of us are very familiar with. Matthew 28:18, it says here, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus had that kind of power. When he arose from the grave, it says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, because of this, he says, therefore, because of this, go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so the Lord came to bring that for you and me this morning. And because of the power, because of the life that is inherent within him, he says, you can go out and go to all the world. And I'll give you power that you can go to the uttermost parts of the world and preach my gospel. Peter, you're not going to deny me anymore. No more are you going to say, I don't know him. Peter just went right out there 50 days after that or so. And he said, and he preached to 3,000 people. Right there in the middle. Probably some of the same ones that were at that gathering. And Peter was standing there preaching to them 50 days or so after that time, after that he denied the Lord. Because of the resurrecting power that the Lord gave and him sending back the power of the Spirit of God in his life, the Lord wants to give that to us today. We have power over Satan. We have power over sin because of this awesome God that has done this for us. I want to read in 2 Timothy 1:7. A few more scriptures here. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know, before the world began, God dedicated the Lord to this very mission and gave him for it. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Just wanted to share those few little thoughts with you this morning, that our hearts can be elevated to realize the life that Christ came to bring to you and me today. He came to bring us life. Folks, I don't know where your situation is today. I don't know how troubled in your mind you might be. I don't know who is in sin and who isn't this morning. I don't know who is fighting with bitterness or anger and all those things. Listen, the Lord Jesus, he came to bring life and immortality to us. He came to bring something that this world cannot offer. Doesn't matter how much money we have. Doesn't matter how much prestige we've got or what position we've got. We can't buy those things and we can't force them. But the Lord, he'll just give them to us this morning. If we seek him, if we come like he did, and we read at the very start how that a grain of wheat, he said, a corn of wheat falls into the ground. And except it does that, if it doesn't do that, it abides alone. It isn't going to grow anything. It isn't going to change. It's going to be the same old thing. Inside, outside, it's going to basically be the same old thing. But you know what? When we allow the Lord to help us, to cause us to die before Him, die to our will. That's what we die to. We die to our love of those sins. That's what we die to. We die to our grudge that is ours to keep. They did it. And I'm not letting them go. I'm getting them back, in fact. I've had people tell me that kind of thing. There's a score I've got to settle up. Folks, somewhere, sometime, we have to die. Somewhere we have to say, I'm done. I'm done with my way. I'm done with my things. I'd like the life of Christ to live in me. I would like for there to be peace in my heart with God and with my fellow man. I would like to have peace just in my heart. I would like to be able to have some of those good things that Jesus Christ came to bring. Oh, can we not this morning take it in by faith to those that believe and to those that come, to those that die to themselves and give up their own, die to their own thoughts and ways. They give up the identity of who they were. I used to have a guy that I knew and was friends with. We visited, I would visit him, and he was constantly telling me how he had never lost a fight. And he would tell me all of these things. You know, folks, we have to die to the identity that we are. Whatever we are has to be given to the Lord. And let Him make of us a new vessel. Let Him take what we have that we can't handle and change it like He does and give us life for our death. That's what Jesus Christ came to do this morning. I love Him this morning. He's our best friend. Folks, would He be your best friend today? Would you go a little farther? Who's willing to go a little farther today? Who's willing to give a little more to the Lord today? Who's willing to take the hands off of their life and die to their plans and give their life to the Lord and consecrate it and say, Lord, I really want You to have Your way in my life. I want You to just work in the way that You please. Who will believe our report? To those that believe, folks, there is eternal life and all the other things Christ came to bring. Pray for us too.